tonight. We're going to make a leap back in the physical compilation of the scripture, but a little bit ahead in the chronology of scripture. We're going to move to the book of Ezra, one of the post-exilic prophets, and we're going to begin a study in the book of Ezra. We're making our way through the Old Testament and following the history of God's people. And they are coming out of captivity. They've been in captivity for 70 years, and God's about to bring them out in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. And we're going to talk about the rebuilding of the city and the rebuilding of the walls and the temple. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's take a text. If you're in Ezra, just turn back a page. Let's read the last two verses of 2 Chronicles 36. And these are almost identical to the first chapter of Ezra, 2 Chronicles 36, 22. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, "Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and he hath charged me to build him an house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of his people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up." Praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated, and let's give God thanks and praise for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. Oh, let's give him praise for his word. Thank you, mighty God, for law and rule and statute. Thank you, Lord God, for your word unchangeable and immutable. Praise God. And we're thankful to handle his word in the house. Praise God. They're coming out of captivity. They've been locked away in bondage for 70 years because of their sin. And God in righteousness and in justice has bound them up. But now the time is finished. As was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, the time is done and 70 years have passed, and now it's time for them to go back to the land. They were justly punished. They were punished by the hand of God, and he is the righteous judge. And I'm glad that he knows how to judge, and I'm glad that his nature is a nature of mercy. And I'm glad tonight to know that God would rather pour out mercy than judgment. Praise the Lord. And we've experienced that, haven't we? I didn't get what I deserved. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I didn't get what I deserved. I'm glad I'm not getting right now what I deserved. Praise. That's enough to shout about right there. He's a God of mercy. But it's time for them to come back. And they want to come back, and God wants them to come back. And now even a pagan king is stirred to help them to get back. But how do you get back after you failed God? How do you get back? How do you make your way back? Because it's not just a trip to an altar and saying, "I'm sorry." There are psychological changes, there are spiritual changes, there are emotional changes and societal or social changes, and everything's different. The landscape is different, and then you've got to deal with the remorse of what's been lost and what you've let go and the embarrassment or the defeat that you've experienced, and all of that's got to be dealt with. And sometimes you just lie awake in the dark and wonder, how do I get back? How do I make my way back? I know God's on my side and I want to serve God, but it seems like all of hell is rising up to tell me you can't make it back. There's no way back. God won't have you back. People won't receive you. I mean, he goes right down the laundry list of all the things that can go wrong and all the things that promote fear in your life. But I want you to know God's a God of mercy. The door is open. It's the plan of God for you to come back because he's a restoring God. It doesn't matter how far you've fallen. It doesn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter what you lost. God wants you back. He'll move heaven and earth to get you. Praise God. I've been enjoying watching you worship God, John Honey, and I don't mean to embarrass you, and I don't mean to call attention to you, but you don't worship like a homegrown. You're worshiping like a new guy. You're worshiping like some freak off the street that just found God for the very first time, just heard the story the first time, and you're just lost. I mean, we're down here praying for people to get the Holy Ghost, and some of our homegrowns are just kind of camping out, and some of them are a little bit tired, and some of them are finding other conversations to have, but my God, you've got the tears. You got your hands in the air. You're acting like this is all brand new to you. I'm so glad that God makes a way back for us. I want to tell you right now, you've got to hear this right now. There's a bulletin in this house. You can have more of God than you ever had. You can have more of God than you had when you walked out the door. The kingdom gets bigger. The kingdom gets better. The experience gets richer. It gets deeper. Praise God. Praise God. Pardon me for being carried away. Ezra is a book in the post-exile years. We begin here with the first year of Cyrus, the Persian. The Babylonians took them into captivity. They ruled the whole known world at the time. And now the Persians have expanded, and they now have rule over this same area, over little Israel, and over the captives that were taken away. We're looking at the latter part of the 6th century, somewhere from the 540s to the 510s. Their 70 years are over. The time is now. Sometimes people wonder, is it time for me to go back? Do I have to stay longer? Can I stay longer? Should I stay longer? Can I get back? Now, for Israel or for Judah here, it was time. The 70 years were over. That was a prophetic word, and it was time. It was something already decreed. Before they ever went into captivity, it was decreed that they would be there for 70 years. And it is amazing to me the specificity of the word of God. God tells them exactly how long they're going to be in captivity. This last time they were in diaspora or spread all over the world for 2,000 years. And now they're back in the land, and it's because God said, I'm going to scatter them, and it's because God said, I'm going to gather them back. But in this context tonight, and we're dealing with an ancient account, an ancient words, and an old, old story, but we only benefit from it in the places where we can derive some good, some strength, some knowledge from these occurrences for our here and now, for our experience in a contemporary setting. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, we understand that there was a specific time for Israel and that they were going to be there. After 10 years, they were sick of it, but they had another 60 years to go. After 30 years, they were tired of it, but they had another 40 years to go. After 50 years, they were sick and tired of it, but they had another 20 years to go. But the word's a little different for the New Testament, denizen, and you need to hear the word tonight. The Apostle Paul told the church at Corinth, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee or sustained thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I want you to understand that as the New Testament dawned, all of those prophetic words for Israel were true for them and are true for them, and there are some prophetic timetables that are still moving, and there are some things that won't happen until time is full. There's a fullness of time to be achieved before there's an Antichrist. There's a fullness of time to be achieved before there's a second coming of the Lord. There's a fullness of time before the temple is going to be built. But as far as the New Testament believer or the backslider or the one who's never heard from God, the apostle said, now is the time. Today is the day. Right in this moment, God is accepting you for the purpose of salvation. Somebody say right now. I'm telling you, you can have it right now. I don't care how far you've fallen, you can have it right now. Wherever he's laying in the streets of this city in his own vomit, he can have it right now. If he's still got the hypodermic in his arm, he can have it right now. I don't care where he's sitting, where she is tonight. I don't care the condition of the house. I want her to know. I want him to know. You can come back right now. It's time. It's time. It's time. It's time to come back to God. It's not time to wait. I'm telling you, there is prophecy being fulfilled every day. Our world is living on pins and needles. They don't understand what's happening, but I know what's happening. I hear the drumbeat of prophecy being fulfilled in our world every day. We are drawing close to the coming of the Lord and the cataclysmic events that are going to herald his coming. I'm excited about it, but I wouldn't wait. I wouldn't hesitate. I wouldn't put it off. I wouldn't procrastinate. I would come tonight. I would come now. I would make a decision tonight. It's time. The prodigal could have come home anytime. Father was watching every day. But there was an internal process. And he couldn't come until he came unto himself. The Bible says he came to himself. He wasted a lot of time. Praise God. It's time. How do I get back? How can I come back? Ezra is a template for us. Ezra is a message for us tonight about how can I get back to God? Praise the Lord. The conditions are the same, perhaps, as when you left, when you slowed down, when you cooled off, when you backed up, when you let down, when you backslid. Conditions may be the same pressure, the same demonic oppression, the same social circumstance. All that may be the same. And in the midst of that, you've got to ask yourself the question, can I live this by myself? Can I stand up in the middle of a family that's not living for God? Can I live for God? Can I stand without family support or social support? Can I live for God? Is there a way for me? And the word tonight is, by the Spirit of God, there is a way for you. God will make a way for you. All you've got to do is begin to just, if you're down for the count, if you'll just lift one little finger, if you'll just open one eye and look toward heaven, if you'll give him any indication at all that you're ready to come home, God will come running. It's the only place in the scripture where I find God in a hurry. But when the prodigal decided that he would come home, when the father saw him, he took off running. He ran to meet him. The only place in the scripture where you find God in a hurry. The Spirit of God will make a way for you. Now is the time. And don't worry about the way. Because God, if you're standing face to a blank wall and you don't understand how it's going to happen, just start walking. Just start walking. God will make a way. 2 Chronicles ends. And Ezra begins. The Spirit of God moved upon Cyrus, the king of a pagan nation. The Spirit of God moved on a king and said, I want you to build me a house. I want you to build it in Jerusalem. I want you. And you can tell by the way he's saying, I'm going to build it in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Everybody knows Jerusalem's in Judah. But you can tell by the way that he delivers that, he didn't know where it was. He just found out. This is all new news to him. But he said, the God who's made heavens, he's told me to build him a house. He's told me. He woke him up in the night. He wouldn't let him rest. He began. I'm telling you, God will move on a king's heart for you. God will begin to move on the powers that be. God will begin to shake a government for you. Yeah, you. Yeah, you. Yeah, you. Yeah, your situation. He'll move on a boss, on a job. He'll move on a family member. He'll move things in the way. He'll move things out of the way. God, by his Spirit, will make a way for you. Don't even begin. Come on. We're addressing the litany of lies that the enemy has to tell you. He'll tell you it's not time. I'm telling you it's high time. He'll tell you there's no way. I'm telling you God will by his Spirit make a way. God will make, somebody shout, God will make a way. Tell your neighbor, God by his spirit will make a way. Look them dead in the eye and point your finger and say, and with God, nothing shall be impossible. Woo! Nothing. Nothing. Just start walking. Just start walking. Just start making your way back. Come on. Devil's lying. He wants you to go to hell with him. He wants to see you broken and ruined. He doesn't want to see the joy on your face again. He doesn't want to see the gladness of God in your life. He doesn't. If his mouth is moving, he's lying. It is time. And God will make a way. The Spirit of the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus. And he also stirred all of those that belonged to God. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites with all them whose spirit God had raised to go up to build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. I know I've told you, and I'm going to tell you again tonight, but it looms larger and larger in my thinking. The further I go, the older I get, the clarity of the night I was baptized. And those little apostolic people walking around that church praying at midnight. We came off schedule. Nobody expected us to come be baptized that night. Terry Pugh was available. He got together with us. He brought us down to the church. We're going down in the water in Jesus' name. I was shocked and amazed to see people at the house of God praying at midnight. But something months before God began to deal with us and stir us and shake us and say, come home. God began to deal with his people. God began to stir his church. They began to feel the need for prayer. When you start feeling that tugging, when he wakes you in the middle of the night, when you start feeling that pulling, please, please respond to God. Say yes to God. Crawl out of bed. Whatever you got to do to find that place of prayer when God begins to do. Because if it weren't for those that were praying for me, I don't know if I'd even be living for God tonight. I don't know if I could have made it on my own. But God begins to stir by his spirit those who are going to be instrumental in making a way for you and bringing you in. God will make a way. Don't worry. God will make a way. Put your fears to sleep. God will make a way. Tell the devil, shh, shh, shh. God will make a way. Come on. If you've only been gone a day, come on back. If you've been gone a week, come on back. If you're just sitting here thinking about leaving, come on back. God's all about restoration. My God, come on. The church is going on anyway. The church is going on without me. The church will go on without you. God's kingdom's going to grow. If we don't do it, he'll raise up somebody that will. If we won't praise him, he'll raise up stones to praise him. It's going to happen without us. But I've made up my mind. I'm going to be a part of this. It would be terrible if you, knowing the truth, didn't come along. Taste of what God has prepared for you on the other side. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. God made provision for them before they ever began to move toward the city. In verse 4, the king was stirred in the middle of the night, and the king said, and whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, he being the one that's going to go back and rebuild the city, let the men of his place help him with silver and gold and goods and beasts beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. God stirred a king, and God caused the king to make a decree. And the king's decree was, we're going to build this city again. We're going to build a house for God. And you people that are living there and you people that are around this, you support this activity and you help this activity and you invest in this activity. I'm telling you, you don't worry about the angry looks, and you don't worry about the unresolved conflicts, and you don't even be concerned about the social mishmash and all the things that are going in your mind that might go wrong. Don't worry about it. God's going to shake some people by his spirit, and he's going to say, come on now, this is my work, this is my doing. I need somebody that'll rise up and support it. I need somebody that'll invest in it. I need somebody that'll embrace it and know that it is the work of God. Everybody say praise the Lord. Praise There's a call. There's a way made by the Spirit, and there's a call. There's a Gentile king that is called. It's amazing to me that when revival begins to happen here, the first one that gets a clue about it is a Gentile. The first one that feels the jolt of it is not the people of God in repose, or the people of God in their backslidden condition, or the priests or the Levites or anybody else. It is a Gentile king. It is a pagan. I believe tonight in this city, there's somebody that's already being stirred and stimulated by the Holy Ghost. They're thinking. They're walking over to a cabinet that hasn't been used in a long time, and they're pulling down an old dusty Bible that belonged to a grandmother or a grandfather, and they're opening up that Bible tonight, and they're thinking, this is Wednesday night, and when I was a little kid, I used to go to the God, I feel prophecy in the house. I used to go to the house of God on a Wednesday night. I need to be going back to the place of God. I'm telling you, God has an open door for them tonight. In this city, God is shaking and stirring. We're looking at a template. We're looking at a template for how you come back to God. God's making a way. God's drawing by His Spirit. God's making provision for you. There's nothing that's in the way that can stand before God and the preparation. All you've got to do is get up and walk. All you've got to do is get up and come. All you've got to do is show up for duty. All you've got to do is say, yes, God, I want to make my way back into the place where I once walked with you. Praise God. The king cried out. He said, who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him and let him go. This is a Gentile cry to the church. This is a Gentile cry to the church. Says, is there any apostolics? Is there an apostolic in the house? Is there an apostolic in the city? Where are the people of God? Cry from a Gentile king. He said, who is there among you of all his people? Who will go up and build his kingdom? Who will go up and build his people? Who will go up and rebuild what's been destroyed and what's been torn down? Praise God. I appreciate our special events team and the wonderful work they did for Sunday morning for Mother's Day. I appreciate Barnabas and the way they've been so attentive to these families that have been in need over the last few weeks. And this week, Brother Travis's family in sorrow, and the church is there knocking on the door and bringing food by and helping. And I just appreciate the way the teams are working and the way the ministries are working, and the way somebody's there. We got somebody ready to be baptized, and we got somebody ready to baptize them. We've got somebody ready to take their name. We got somebody ready to get their information. We've got somebody ready to teach them over in the growth class. We've got Sunday school teachers that are ready for them on Sunday morning. We're ready, we're ready, we're ready, we're ready. My God, God's shaking. Where are the people of God? We're here. We're ready. We've heard the call. God, sure, shake them, stir them, draw them, Almighty God. Praise God. I'm excited about your zeal for personal evangelism and all the ministry that's going on in this church and in this fellowship. We're sowing a lot of seed, and I'm telling you, it's going to come up. We plant, we water, and God gives the increase. Praise God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. In chapter 1, beginning with verse 7, also Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem and had put them in the house of his gods. They've been there 70 years. Even those did Cyrus, king of Persia, bring forth by the hand of Mithridath, the treasurer, and numbered them unto Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah. And this is the number of them: 30 chargers of gold, 1,000 chargers of silver, 9 and 20 knives, 30 basins of gold, silver basins, second sort, 410, and other vessels, 1,000. All the vessels of gold and silver were 5,400. He gives the whole list. They inventoried this when it came into the treasury of Babylon. Now the inventory is being taken again, and things are being restored. Everybody say, there's a recovery of lost things. Praise God. Praise God. The devil's going to tell you now, what you've lost, you can't get it back. Now, I want you to know that on in chapter 2, there are some men that come and they're ready to go back to Jerusalem, and they begin to check the registries, and they can't find their genealogies, and they can't find their connection to the priestly families, and so they are not eligible to be a part of the priesthood. And in the 70 years, they've lost some things they can't get back. And that's the trouble with going away. You can go away and not be. There have been those that have gone away and haven't made their way back. There have been those that have backslidden and didn't get back. There have been some that have backslidden and they've made it back to the house, but they've been dead from that moment on, and they're just there like a ghost among us because they can't get the joy back and they can't get the passion back, but they're just there in the physical, just trying to connect some way. So it is possible that there are some things that can't be recovered. But I'm reading right here that the king is making a list of all that he's going to send back with him. And these are things that were lost during their time of captivity. So I know that there is a recovery of lost things. I've read in the Word of God where he said, I'm going to give you back the years that the palmer worm and the canker worm have devoured. Man, that's hard to understand. That seems like those would be things that were lost forever. But God's telling him, by my spirit and in a supernatural sense, I'm going to get back things for you that never should be in the realm of the possible. I want you to know, you tell the devil, shut his mouth. It is good and it is worthy for you to make an attempt to come back to God, because the things you've lost are not necessarily lost for good. Can I get it back? Yet I'm reading the Word of God. There is a recovery of lost things. Can I get my joy back? Yeah, absolutely. I believe you can. Can I get my gladness back? I believe you can. I believe you can be better. Can I get my witness back? I know that you can. I see it sitting in this house tonight. Can I have my testimony back? I know that you can. Somebody say praise the Lord. But the loss and the time are proportionate. The longer you're gone, the greater your loss. The less of a chance for recovery. My God. I want everybody that's not first generation, everybody that came in from some hellhole that prayed through, from some bar room, or came out of some traditional church situation, or you've already been out there and you've tasted it and you've danced with it and you've smoked it and you've shot it and you've loved it and you've walked with it and you've... Now, just this one service tonight, what we've experienced in this house tonight, have any of you experienced anything out there that in any way compares with the sweetness that's come down in this house tonight? I mean, I want to hear about it. If you have, it doesn't take long to find it. The question then is, if you're leaving, where are you going? If you're leaving, what are you looking for? If it's not there, how will you find it? And won't you find yourself shipwrecked with thousands of others who just went wandering and looking? And could you hear the testimony tonight of those that have come full circle and now they're standing back before God saying, this is what I was looking for all my life. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. There's a recovery of lost things. Has anybody lost anything you'd like to get back? Come on, let's just press it for just a little bit here. God, I'm going to worship you. God, I'm going to serve you. God, I'm going to seek after you with a whole heart. As the deer panteth after the water brook, so longeth my soul after thee, O God. Praise God. Praise God. We're not going to be able to finish this tonight, but they're going back to Jerusalem. He's sending them back to Jerusalem. There's not another place that'll do. They can't go just down the road in Babylon or in Persia. There's a lot of beautiful places in that fertile triangle there where they are between the Tigris and the Euphrates. A lot of wonderful places there. But only Jerusalem will do, because that's where his name is. That's where he spoke to Abraham and said, that's where I'm going to make my house. That's where he had David and Solomon raise it up. It's Jerusalem and no other place. He told him, he said, you can't give sacrifice in any other place. Only in Jerusalem. It's his city. It's his place. It's the last solid place where they were living for God. He's sending them back to the last place where they stood in strength with God. Now, this is a template. This is a how do I get back. This is the answer to those questions. This is a shut your mouth to the litany of lies that the enemy has to tell you. But if you're going to come back to God, you've got to go back to the same place you were. For us, it's not geographic. For us, it's experiential. For us, it's a moving of the Spirit. Praise God. But you've got to go back to that place. Now, listen to me. Here's the deal. I'll be what I was before when I can feel what I felt before. I'm just feeling dead right now because I've been disengaged. And you know, backsliding doesn't happen overnight. You drift for a long, long time. You get hard for a long time. And when I start feeling that joy, I mean, I'm lifting my hands, but I'm not feeling it anymore. And I'm coming, but I'm not feeling it anymore. And so when I start really feeling that experience again, then I'll stand where I stood before. That's not the way it works. You go back physically to the place. You go through the process. You go through the motions. You get yourself up. You clap your hands. You lift your hands. You stand in the place of God. Praise God. You say, well, I would be a hypocrite if I did that. No, you're making your way back to God. This is a process. It would be like Israel saying, no, I'd be hypocritical to go back to Jerusalem. I've been gone for 70 years. No, God says it's time to come home. So if it's time to come home, you've got to go back where you were. And the way you get there is by being and doing what you were doing before you died in your spirit. Praise God. Feelings follow actions. You'll do it first and then you'll feel it later. You don't wait till you feel like it. You do it. And then you'll begin to feel like it. Praise God. Praise God. Go back where you last served God. Go back to being that person again. To interacting with people like you did before. Walking like you did before. Loving the things you loved before. Put away the foolishness that you've brought in or introduced into your life or your home or your family. Put those things away and begin to do and to be as you were before. And the things that you loved about living for God will come back to you. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. I'm gonna stop. Let's come down around the altar tonight. Why don't we just have a time of family prayer. Praise God. Praise God. He's sending them back to Jerusalem. If you're first, you have to step up on the risers there. He's sending them back to Jerusalem. And there's a mess there. Jerusalem's a mess. He's sending them back to the site of destruction and all the trouble. He's sending them back right into the middle of the damaged relationships and all the chaos. But that's where you got to go. If you want to get it right and you want to be right and you want to have it right again, that's where you got to go. Praise God. You got to walk right back in into the chaotic mess you left. And trust God. Praise God. They're going to build that city out of the ruins. They're going to raise up a whole new experience in God out of the ashes of the old one. there's a way back. You can make your way back. God wants you. He says it's time to come back. All the people said amen. God's stirring the heart of Gentiles. God's already beginning to move things out in your future. God's already beginning to put it into a place along the way that you'll walk. God's already putting the thing together. He's stirring the heart of his people. He's calling out and saying, is there any of the people of God in this place? Praise God. Could we lift up every heart and every voice and every hand? Praise the Lord. If you're cold in your heart, if you're backslidden, if you're on your way back, if you're somewhere just drifting, I want you to turn to somebody by you and tell them, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm on my way back. I want you to pray for me. Takes a little courage to do that. Find somebody to pray with. Would you do it?